Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you are risen. We thank you that everything that you've already done, Lord, you've given us success, oh God. You've given us the ability to go above and beyond anything that shall stand before us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us that very same spirit, the power and the anointing that raised Jesus from the grave resides inside of us. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that we're rising above and going above and beyond. That we are not the tail, but we are the head. I thank you, Father, that we enter into a place, Lord, of rest. That we have peace within our heart. That everything that we have done, Lord, be glorified to you. But everything that we're about to do, God, resemble you. Let us not be a people that respond to a prayer, that respond to an altar call, but have to drag our feet every step of the way. Let us be a people that have purpose in our walk. Let us be a people that have determined to serve you in not our own desire. Let us be a people, God, that continue to move forward in the things that you have given us before the beginning of time. That we're not here on accident, we're here on purpose. And as we're here, let us fulfill the purpose that has been set before us. Let us be a people, O God, that will continue to move after the things that you have created us to do, but not doing it grudgingly. Let us put our focus and our heart to you. Playtime is over. Enough is enough. You come first in our life. And we place you first. This isn't something that we do because it's available. It's what you instituted at the beginning of time. You created us to be worshipers. And for that fallacy that goes forth that I can worship you at home, worship you in my own place, but forsake not the assembling of the saints. Let us come together as a people that have an understanding that in that place you have ordained the blessings to be. And Father, let us understand that as we continue to walk in your precepts, in your word, and in your stature, Father, I thank you that we begin to see mountains move, the seas part, and that we will cross over on dry land. Many obstacles that stand before your people, O God. I understand it's for testing. I understand it's for us to build our faith, for us to exercise our faith. But you're the God that will bring us up and over and through. Let us understand, oh God, that what we have witnessed you do in the past, we know that you'll do it again in the future. But we have to continually move forward. If we go back to the ways of the old, Lord, it's like a dog that goes back to its vomit. Let us not go back to our old ways. Let's move forward to the things that you have for us. This is a new day. This is a new season. And I thank you for the fresh oil, God. And I thank you that we don't negate your very power and your presence, Lord. Let us not become so desensitized to your presence. But let us be sensitive to your prompting, to your voice, and to your presence. So, Father, today we just give honor and glory to the Son of the living God. And his name is Jesus. And he is worthy to be praised. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Do you believe it, church? Do you believe it? Amen. Amen. At this time, I want to just share a couple quick announcements, and then we're going to get the speaker to come forth. And I just want to share with you what I believe that the Lord has placed on my heart and in my spirit. And I've been seeing it a lot lately. There's so many opportunities to get the word of God wherever you want to be. So many opportunities. Great. We've never been in this place now where the gospel can be ministered to and you can check in on social media and get the word ministered to you. Amen? But if that be the case, here's what I want to know. Is the Bible says that we can judge the efforts and the things of the people by what? Their fruit. With so much gospel, so much preaching, and so much going forth over social media, how come the world is still going down the tubes? How come we see so much bickering, complaining, and so much division, but yet the gospel is being preached? So at some point, we have to make a decision to allow the word to become part of us, not just the word that we're hearing. There's a thing that we have to do is called actively hearing the word of God. That means it's not just something that you hear and just let it pass it. Well, that's not for me. That doesn't fit where I'm at. Truth be told, every word that comes out of the mouth of his servants is for you. Amen? This isn't a rebuke, guys. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. I'm just telling you the state that I see. We constantly get in a place in the body of Christ where we have so many prolific preachers come forth and they share so much, they teach so much, we see the oil going forth, but yet lives aren't being changed or transformed because it comes so easy for you. Hello? Where ministers will pour their life out and make sacrifices for the people of God, but yet the people of God leave the same way. Hello? At some point, the body of Christ, his bride, has to take what he has given to them and apply it to their life. Amen? There's a lot of great teachings out there. Trust me. And if you didn't get it on the Sunday, you didn't get it on a Wednesday or Thursday, you can go back to the archives and you can get it again. And I've listened to a lot of messages over and over, and they minister to me differently each time. And I asked the Lord, what is it? What are we seeing or what are we not seeing that we need to change? He says, we're in the days where the word is no longer valued. No longer valued because the people want to be entertained and they want it to look a certain way. It needs to be so inviting with all the lights, the smoke, and all of such. But yet the word is still foremost while you go. And if we don't apply the word, then all we're doing is being entertained. Amen. This isn't a rebuke. I'm talking. That's all I'm doing. I'm just sharing with you. Amen. Look at your neighbor. He's not talking to you. Not talking to you. Tell him he's not talking to you. You're doing great. You're doing great. Keep it up. Keep applying the word. Amen. But I've witnessed so many things in people's lives that you can see they're not changing. And you'll see it because of patterns. The patterns. At some point, we have to make that change. Now, before your religious mind goes to that thing that you do all the time, stop it. What you have to understand is God wants to see you get full of his word to understand that he is in you to help you through that circumstance. Amen? Can I be transparent for a minute? Can I be transparent for a minute? I went to church, not only with my grandmother, I went to church with my mom when she would take me to Cornerstone. And I used to hide up on the upper balcony with my friend. And make fun of everybody. Everybody. And never hear the word. And then I would make the altar calls because I see everybody else doing it and be crying, and never change. Never change. I think became more a bigger devil than I was a saint. My family would tell you. My cousin would tell you because he used to go with me to the parties. Amen, right? Come on, let's be real. And so I said, Lord, at some point, church services can't be just another church service. Service. It has to be an encounter. Because a church service means you're getting ready to be served. And we're used to being served. Until one day my mom told me, he says, you wanna eat? You're going to have to learn to cook. I said, okay. I was real good at chorizo and egg. How about you? You have a certain dish, it's the simple ones. But at some point, I had to learn things that I did not know. Right? And it's the same thing in church. We're not having a church service to come and serve you. We're coming to serve him. Amen? And let's understand that. This isn't two House of Manna. I'm just saying, in generalities and what I've been seeing. And we have to begin to make a change. And that goes for the body of Christ. Amen. Let us put forth our best effort. If Jesus would have came through and acted like we do, would he have been on the cross? No. Because if God would have shown you that there's where you are going to wind up, you would have done everything in your power to change that. Amen? Give me my angels now. Now, I'm not going to that cross. Amen? But let us put forth the best effort in our heart to hear the word, actively apply the word, and be active in our engagement to him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and says, it's all good. We're going somewhere. Amen. At this time, I want to bring up Patricia as she comes and shares what's on her heart, what the Lord has given her. Amen. Now put your hands together for your own, Patricia. Love it. Bring it to them, girl. Bring it to them. Amen.
Oh, man, the nerves sat in again. I was doing fine all morning. I really was until now. Now I'm like, oh, nervous. Man. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let me get situated. Before I get started, I just want to go ahead and open up an order of prayer. So if you'll join me in praying so I can calm my nerves. Amen? Amen. Father God, we come to you today, Father God, thanking you for another beautiful Sunday, Father God, as we gather, Lord Jesus, in your house to worship you, Father God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you move freely, Father God. Prepare the hearts of your people, Father God. I ask that you calm my nerves, Father God, that you remove me, Father God, and you, Father God, bring this word to your people, Father God, through me. In Jesus' name we say. Amen. 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 And as always, I want to thank Pastor Marty and Pastor Inez for letting me share today. Amen. To my spiritual parents, Pastor Benny and Pastor Sally, and to my husband back there. If y'all see me on Facebook, I'm always talking about my husband. But thank you, babe, for just speaking life into me, just being obedient. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and just jump right in. If you know me, I'm not long. I just give you what God gave me and then move on. Amen? So if you'll just turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 13:14. And we're also going to have it up here. But how many of you know I could just be putting anything up there? Amen? So make sure you are checking your Bibles. I like when Pastor Benny always challenges us. He's like, oh, yeah? You think this is real, what I'm telling you? I challenge you to read your word and question me. Amen. So I'll go ahead and throw that challenge out there too. Amen. So the word reads, but now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Amen. So I'm going to give you just a quick study on what the Lord was sharing with me. And it was the story of David. Man, so in this scripture, it doesn't say that it's David, but later on we realize that David was the man after God's own heart. Amen. Now, this scripture itself was the prophet Samuel who was rebuking King Saul at this time for his disobedience. And so, how many know when you go into the middle of a conversation, you'll know what's going on? Amen. Well, that's what was going on. Okay. So, as I was reading about this, I had a whole big message, like, focused on something completely different. And God was like, no. Go back, read it again. And I was like, really, Lord? That's like two books right there you want me to read. He's like, read it again. There's something different I want to show you. Amen? So I did. So when you read it, you see in the first book and in the second book how God moves through David. And I say David because we're going to start with little young David. Amen? There's numerous times where you can see clearly how God is moving. There's no doubt that God is with David during these chapters. And we see just how much David trusts God and loves God and worships God and so forth from a very young age. Amen. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel 16, we're going to go first in verse 1 and then we'll jump down to verse 10. So let's see. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. And jump down to verse 10. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons are presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes, and the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. I think I said that right. Ramah. Amen. So here in these few scriptures, we see that God was already working in young David's life. Amen. He was just a shepherd boy, as you can see here. Just out there in the fields while all these other wonderful sons came all big and built and ready to, you know, do what God has told them to do. And God's like, "No, no, 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 no. That's not the one. This one's the one." Amen. So then you begin to see how God uses David as he's progressing in life. So he went from being a shepherd boy and he went into the king's palace and became his harp player. At this time, God was dealing with King Saul, but that's a different study, man. We're focusing on David here. So while Saul was being tormented with the spirits, God sent David into the palace. And that's where David became the harp player. And Saul ended up loving David so much that he eventually became his armor bearer. And if you don't know what the armor bearer, they're the ones that are like right there next to him the whole time. Amen? And so they were obviously close this time. Amen? And you can read all of that. Like I said, read your word. You can keep reading that in 1 Samuel 16. But in the next chapter, we all know the story about Goliath, right? If you don't, again, read your word. Goliath, that the Philistines were taunting Israel with. And with the full faith in God and just a stone from a slingshot, David kills Goliath. And it's after he kills Goliath that he becomes the commander over the men of war and develops a bond with Saul's son, Jonathan. Man. And I mention that because if you keep reading, I tell you, there was a lot to read in here. But if you keep reading, you see this bond between Saul's son, Jonathan, and David. And you see all the things that they went through and how Jonathan stayed faithful to David, even going against his own father, because he knew God was with David and not with his father. Amen? So as you keep reading the next chapters, you see, remember how Saul loved David so much that he was right there next to him? Well, Saul becomes jealous of David. And he gets jealous because of David's victory with the Goliath. And so he tries to kill him. I don't know about you, but if I had like somebody by my side, and that would look kind of off, like me trying to kill my armor bearer, amen? I don't know, that's just me. But he becomes jealous, and he tries to kill him like a bunch of times. Like, it was amazing how many times David got away. And it wasn't just David being all smart and, you know, I can get away, I can run faster than you can, whatever. It was God's protection over David. Amen. So once Saul realizes, I can't kill this dude, like, I've been trying everything I can. I use my whole army, everybody, to try to kill him, and I can't do it. So what happens? Saul starts to think, like, oh, man, God's with him. Now I don't know if I should be messing with him, man. He starts getting afraid of him. And David, like I said, he kept succeeding in everything he did because God was with him. So at that point, he went from being his armor bearer to his enemy, man. So all this stuff happens. Things get crazy for Saul. Like I said, God's dealing with him in a whole different way. And he eventually dies on his own sword, actually. So if you turn with me now to 2 Samuel, chapter 5, verse 3, we see what God said come to pass. So there at Hebron, forgive me if I said that wrong, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel. So we see young David eventually transition into King David. Amen. And with all the great things that were going on in King David's life, he develops this, like, I don't care what anybody's going to think about me. I'm just going to worship him and dance and leap around, and I don't care who sees me. You can laugh at me. You can make fun of me, whatever, because it pleases God. Amen. And that's awesome. Like, for God to just do so many awesome things, you become on fire for God, right? You start talking about how awesome God is, and God's a provider. God did this in my life. He did this for my family. Man, you should worship this God because of everything he's done in my life, right? And that's how King David was. So as you keep reading in the next chapter, God gives a message to King David through the prophet Nathan. And he says, where God vows to grant Israel rest from foreign opposition and promises that the kingdom of David will last forever. Man, at this point, I would just be up on the high mountain just screaming like, God is awesome, amen? So when you read all of this, there's no doubt. This is why King David is worshiping God and dancing for God. Because look at all these great things that happened in his life. He was always seeking God for direction and for instruction and instructions before he did anything. And like I said, when you read your word, you'll see, man, he would always be like, God, do I go this way? And are you going to provide for me? And God would say, yes, go. Or, God, do I do this? Are you going to, protect me from this? No, don't go there. And he wouldn't go. Man, he was so in tune with God. He had like this deep personal relationship with him. Amen. But just like how we were able to see clearly how God was moving in David or King David, there was just this one time. One time is all it took when we would probably question if King David really was as close to God as we thought. And I say it like that because how many of us, I am guilty of having those religious eyes and being like, oh yeah, you were all high and mighty just a minute ago talking about how close you are to God, but look at this, what you did. Amen? But then you look this way and there's like a mirror right here and you're like, oh, I did that too. Amen? So, like I was saying, through our religious eyes, when we see that, we're like, I don't know, were you really that close to God? But like I said earlier, we praise God when things are going good. We talk about how good he is. But when things start to go sideways, we doubt God. We question God. We start to let our faith dwindle. And sometimes we even begin to shut out God. And that's when we do our own thing. Like, you know what, God, I don't know if you're really telling me what I need to do. I'm going to go ahead and just do it this way. Amen. And sometimes all it takes is just that one thing to just throw us off track. Do you know what's worse than turning away from God? Not just a simple act of turning away from God, but do you know what's worse than that? It's when you turn away from God knowing truth. When you know who God is. And I don't mean like the God that's in here. When you read through all the stories and everything in here, I'm talking about the God that you know personally. The God that took you out of whatever destruction you were in. That God. The God who, even for those of you who weren't taken out of destruction, like, I'm just going to get real here. Those who grew up in church, man, had it made because parents were serving God for them, amen? But what if your parents didn't serve God? How would your life be now? Think about that for a second. If you know what God can do in your life, if you know the things that he's protected you from, just like King David, if you know all of that, why? Why turn away from that? And I only say that out of my own personal experiences. And I know that Pastor Sally, even my husband, can testify to this. Is I struggled. I knew God. Man, I knew God. I knew how great he was and everything he did for me. And because I didn't get my way, when I didn't get what I wanted, when I wanted it, I doubted God. I doubted his promises for me. I doubted who he was. And I almost turned away. And that's why I thank God for my spiritual parents, for my husband, for anybody out there who just speaks what God gives them, amen? Because if it wasn't for that, man, I wouldn't be here. I would have walked away. I would have been like, God, you're not real. But how many know that sometimes we just become little spoiled brats? God provides so much for us, and we want more, we want more, we want more, but we don't get it our way when we want it. It's like, done. Amen. I don't know where that went. That was completely off from here, man. Amen. So let's see if I can get back into this. Just go ahead and turn now to 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. We were talking about how one thing can completely throw you off track for a bit. Remember that King David always went to God for direction and for instructions before he did anything, right? He was always where he was supposed to be, where God told him to be. But then in this scripture, we see that King David wasn't where he was supposed to be. You see, in the beginning of the scripture, it says, in the spring of the year, when kings normally go to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. I want to focus a little bit on there because, like I said, King David wasn't where he was supposed to be. But it says here, kings were normally went to war during the springtime of that year, or during the year. But David stayed behind. So when you're not in position where God told you to be, that's where temptation creeps in. That's where the enemy starts to plot things in your environment to get you off track. Because he knows what God has for you over here, but his whole plan is to get you this way. Amen? In the next few scriptures, we see that King David spots Bathsheba. And she was bathing. And she wasn't bathing with the swimsuit, man. She was married. There's another little fun fact for you there. She was married to Uriah. But that didn't stop her. That didn't stop her. When King David called her, where did she go? Running to him. Not to her husband to say, hey, this dude's messing with me, sending me private messages in social media or none of that. No, she went. She went and followed King David and ended up sleeping with him. Well, what happens when you sleep with somebody else? She became pregnant. And when Bathsheba tells King David that she's pregnant, did King David own up to it? Nope. He tries to trick her husband into sleeping with her. But he was doing what he was supposed to do, guarding the gates and everything, so he wasn't going home to get tricked. Man. So instead of just owning up to what he did, he tried to scheme his way out of it. By this point, I would have just been like, God, look, I messed up. Help me get out of this. Don't let it be mine. Something. But no, he just kept messing with Uriah, trying to get him to go home and sleep with his wife. And when that didn't work, because like I said, Uriah was busy doing what he was supposed to do, he arranges for Uriah to be killed. So not only did King David commit adultery, he became a murderer. And not just like a murderer, like he was fighting in the war. No, he went and killed an innocent man because of something that he did and wanted to cover it up. And that's just like a whole domino effect of everything from just this one act. He should have just went to war. I don't know. That's what I say. But anyways, King David went through all that trouble to hide what he had done with the married woman, even went as far as to kill an innocent man, which was far from the King David or even young David that we read about before. Remember, this was the man who used to turn to God for direction and instructions before he did anything. But, of course, God knows all and sees all. So when he sent the prophet Nathan to King David, he gave him some analogies. And finally, King David couldn't hold it in anymore. He admitted. He confessed, I have sinned against God. But how many know how awesome God is? God forgave King David. But that doesn't mean he doesn't discipline him. Just like if our kids do bad, we love them. But we got to discipline them. Man. So his son was going to die. I don't have children yet. Keyword yet. Amen. But if something was to happen to my child, or even my godchild, or my young brothers and sisters that I adopt everywhere, I would be broken. And sometimes that's what God needs. He needs you to be at that broken place so he can come in and do what he needs to do and get you back on track. Amen? So when he was told that his son was going to die, it was then that King David turned to God again. He realized, I didn't turn to you before. I'm turning to you now. He begged and cried and asked God to spare his child, fasted and everything. But his son still died, just as God has said. And yet King David still went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. Later on, him and Bathsheba end up having a son, and they name him Solomon. And I encourage you to go ahead and look at the family line and see where Jesus comes from there. And it's through Solomon that God loved him so much. From that time forward, after that mistake and going back to God, King David fully trusted God and his heart was full of repentance. And even though he made a mistake or two, he was able to get back on track and restore his personal relationship with God. So remember, we saw how young David was so in tune with God, he was anointed, and they didn't think like the youngest one of Jesse's sons was going to be appointed king, but he did. And God was with him the whole time, and he kept going to God, asking him, do I do this, do I do that? And God was very clear to him, and right then and there, it's not like he had to fast and wait for an answer. No, God was talking directly to him at that moment. And all of that happens, a fall happens, he's not close to God, and then he goes back to God, he repents, and then God and him have this personal relationship all over again. And I shared all of this about young David and King David to say that wherever you're at in life, move forward. Don't let the mistakes that you've made cripple you and stop you in your walk and keep you stuck there, because that's not where God wants you. Repent, move forward, and then do better. Now, remember who God is in your life, just like I have to remember who God is in my life and what he's promised you, what he's promised me in those intimate moments together. Amen.
Very, very, very good. Amen. We all fall short. We all fall short. We're not all perfect. Look to your neighbor and tell him you're not perfect. Now look to the one that you really don't like too much. I mean, the other one say, you're not perfect, but that's the way God still loves you. Isn't it beautiful that God loves us in through our imperfections? In our imperfections, we find out we serve a perfect God, right? It's in our brokenness that we understand that we serve a whole God. Because it's in our brokenness that we have an understanding that he wants to enter into that place. Now, just a quick little, survey. Can we do a survey? How many of you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Raise your hand. Personal. So he's your God, right? Now I want you to look to your neighbor and tell the neighbor, not the one that you're always talking to, turn to the other neighbor and say, that's my God. Now turn to the one that you're always talking to now and say, okay, he's yours too. Okay. Now, here's the thing. We all have a different relationship than your neighbor. Amen? But because our relationship may be different, it doesn't make him a different God. The same God, but maybe my relationship may not be where your relationship is. Don't enter into judgment based on your relationship and judging my relationship. Amen? Still the same God. Eventually, because the relationship that I have, he will call me to go closer to him. Amen? God will never force you to him. Never. He will invite you. And guess whose choice that is? It's your choice. Now, I love this particular story, and I love the story of David. The reason why I love David so much is because how many of you have been overlooked before, passed over, didn't fit the bill, didn't fit what people would say that you're the one? Hello, somebody. Because you don't have everything like they expected, and they look you over, and they say, no, not you. It couldn't be you. It can't be you. How many of you have been there? Yeah. But then God selects you. He selects you. The God that we serve is a God that looks not at your now, but he looks through your now into your future. He looks through your now so that you can see your future. Amen? So when God speaks to you, he's addressing you in your now for your future. Right? So when my mother would you know, chancla me. It was quite often. And I don't know what it is about these house slipper things that they have foam in it, but they still hurt. How many of you know those slippers? Those are the ones you still buy your mom, but you know you wouldn't wear them, but you buy them for mom, right? Okay, these are these foam slippers that she would wear. And every time I would see this size 5 slipper come my way, that was it. I was done. Because I knew I was going to get what I deserved, right? But it wasn't because of where I was going. It was because of what I did before where I was going. Do you understand? We think that God is going to do all kinds of correction because of where you're at. You may do something where you're at, but he's correcting you because of where you're going. Amen? Mom saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. Her mother saw something in me that I never saw in myself. And she would always tell her, that's a special boy. And I thought, well, yeah, I'm special. Special. Then I got a size 5 chancla almost every day. Now, I wasn't that bad, right? I wasn't that bad. Every other day, but not every day. But because of the correction and because of the love, when God corrected David, if you look in the story, he corrected him in a way that he would understand. He brought to him Nathan the prophet to give an analogy that he would finally confess, right? So we see that Bathsheba is up there and she's bathing in the nude, right? That's so bad. Have you ever stopped to think why she was up there doing that? Have you really stopped to think about that? Do you think she was trying to get his attention? No. No. No, she wasn't doing it on purpose. Nakedness was not a sin. David danced naked. Can I be real with y'all for a minute? What you're going to sow is what you're going to reap. David danced naked before the people in a place that nakedness wasn't even a sin. It was something that would be an occurrence because the showers were not indoor where you would have the shower head come down. We'll go with that rain coming down. No, most of it was done on the rooftops to begin with because that's where everything was done. And it would run down. It would run through the city because it wasn't drainage. It was just little troughs that would run through. Do you understand? So it wasn't something that she did out of the ordinary. It was what he did in his heart that made it wrong. Hello, somebody, because I'm about to take you somewhere. What you do in secret will be revealed in the public. Even though you try to hide it as much as you want, it's about to be revealed. So the nakedness wasn't the issue. What was wrong is David should have been doing what he was supposed to be doing in the timing, in the season that he should have been doing it. It's going to help somebody and not miss his appointed time and his appointed season, because that will get you out of the will of God and you'll fall to your own desires. I like what she said, that Bathsheba didn't go tell her husband. Old dude over here hitting me up. And we would think it would be strange, right? But if the king summoned you, guess what? You didn't have a choice. It was worse if you didn't go. She didn't have a choice. But she also had a choice not to follow through. Hello, somebody. At some point in our life, we're going to have to make a choice not to follow through. Amen? Are you ready not to follow through on your own desires, but to follow His desires? Amen? And that's what we've got to do. Follow His desires. Be in the place that's appointed for us in the season we need to be in it. Amen? Stand to your feet, if you would, please. Stand to your feet.